Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day to this point. It is nippy out there here in Middle Tennessee today. It is cold. It's nice, but man, it is cold. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Always enjoy chatting with our next guest, Sean Salisbury, 790 down in Houston, our quarterback. He does it all, and he's crushing it in Houston, and we always enjoy talking with him. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic. We had Herm Edwards on last hour, and he was talking about how, you know, you got a guys' balls hiked, and there's nobody open, and you're throwing guys open, or you're throwing to spots. You know that better than anybody. And we had Trent Dilfer on Friday. We had Tim Hasselbeck on Friday. So we've talked to some former quarterbacks, and I kind of want to pose the same question to you just to get your thoughts, because I need to understand how difficult this is to figure out if they can pull it off. When I see footage of Trey Lance, I see him throwing to wide-open guys. And I'm not picking on North Dakota State. I'm not picking on smaller schools, because there's a lot of Power 5 quarterbacks that had tremendous athletes to throw to, and they just outran everybody, and they were wide open too. How do you begin to try to figure out if these guys can throw guys open or throw to spots at the next level when they didn't have to do it in college?
Well, you parlay it out just like you did when you were – and I know there's a lot more money on the line, but it's all relative because the quarterback was important to him, just like you did in high school. The windows were bigger in high school. And then the college recruiter trying to figure out who the next great Dan Marino or Pat Mahomes is. And sometimes even only Texas Tech recruits a guy like Pat Mahomes. Maybe they didn't think he was thrown to those windows, and we know the result of that now. But you recruit a guy, you get bigger windows in college, you could drive a truck or high school, and then you get to college and you're throwing to windows that are bigger, and then you all of a sudden get to the NFL and you're throwing to coffee can size windows, and the coffee can you're throwing to is not open. At least it is, but you know, at home on TV and when you're sitting in the pocket, you throw people open. It's the old if he's leaving. And you know, when you go to the state fair and the basketball hoop seems to be bigger than the basketball you're shooting to try and win that stuffed animal, that's what it's like. Mm-hmm. I could give you a scientific answer, but it would take too long, and it never fits when it comes to that anticipation. It is trusting what you see, seeing the forest through the trees, and it's all about parlaying it out. What you see in a guy that tells you that he's going to be able to do it. Now, when we talk about Trey Lance, I can also say, well, maybe he gets under center better than the other guys that live in the shotgun. And I watched Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and, you know, who am I leaving out? Trevor Lawrence throw to big windows, too. Mm-hmm. The question is, when did they get to that window? When did, you know, the anticipation, what shoulder was it on? Well, I understand, like in Mac Jones' case, with guys like Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith, people are open. But you say, okay, on this one, the person was open, but did he anticipate the throw into the window to give him a better chance to run after the catch as opposed to wrong shoulder catch and tackle? We got a lot of accurate players. So it's not, if it was an exact science, we'd all be right. It's not a fence-sitting answer. We've been right and we've been wrong. And the truth of the matter is, not me, not Trent Dilfer, not Herm Edwards, not Robert Saleh, not Mike Vrabel, we don't know. We think we do, and we get it to a point. Toughest position in the world to judge. Toughest position in the world to see through, because there are certain things, traits that I can't teach that guys got. I could teach all the mechanics and arm slot and put your foot in the ground when the pocket's clean, which is important. I'm a big believer that if you can't throw the ball from a clean pocket consistently, make me simple plays and hit singles, you will not last in this league. So you better be able to do it from there first. Now, the stuff we can't is Pat Mahomes, you know, parallel to the ground for the line of scrimmage and throwing a ball sidearm 25 yards and hitting a guy on a comeback route when he's falling down. Or Zach Wilson stepping, falling away, throwing a Brett Favre-type throw to places that most guys wouldn't even attempt. So there's something to like about all five of these. There's a lot to like. The problem is we spend so much time picking the things we don't like. And it'll also include who you're playing around. Zach Wilson could be the greatest player in the world on Kansas City. I can assure you this, as good as Mahomes is, and he's the best we have in this league right now, if Pat Mahomes played for Jacksonville last year, they wouldn't have won 8 games. Just so we're clear on this, and I hold him in the highest regard. They wouldn't have won 8 games. They'd have been better, no question. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. If Mahomes was on Jacksonville's team last year, they would not be in the playoffs. If I took a good player, Tannehill, to Kansas City, are we sure that they're – I mean, they're not going to be as good, but can't they win 11 or 12 games? Hell, you damn near did in Tennessee. So point is, there's a fine line between 1 and 15, and that 1 and 15 is – here's the – I know a lot – there's a couple guys, a handful of guys at the top that are that guy, meaning Aaron and Tom, Brady, that guy who you win because of that dude, even when things aren't going well. Mahomes, that guy. Then there's the a little bit better than a guy, where you're really good and you're a good player, but you're still a guy that – the team wins with you, and a lot of things have to happen. Then there's the lower third where there's you need a lot of help, and sometimes we win with you. You're not going to change my franchise. You're replaceable, and I'm always looking over your shoulder to find another guy to replace you. We ain't got many that guys in this league. We think these five can be that guy, but we won't know, and we don't know in college because the Sunday game is far different.
No-brainers don't exist, as you just laid out. But if they did, who do you think is the closest to no-brainer quarterback in this draft? Is it Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody – the only thing we go on is what we've seen, you know, what I've studied, and I've seen probably 85% or more, depending on who the guy is. I haven't seen less than three-quarters of the throws by any of the guys. I've seen more in comparing games and going through, and I try to do that, so I'm not just – speaking on what I watched on TV and heard an announcer say. I don't ever want to be that guy, although they're smart, but I'd like to go deeper into it. I don't know we do so much, you know, picking at guys in the off season. We do in shorts and a t-shirt. The problem of people talk themselves out of more players than they talk themselves into. I can lay out a laundry list of a pros and cons of Trevor Lawrence, and somehow somebody who probably shouldn't evaluate it that difficult we'll pick the one thing out that possibly – they'll chase a ghost. My mother called it borrowing trouble my whole life. Don't borrow trouble, son. Just keep going. That they'll pick that one thing that could happen if this goes in the – and your aunt buys your sons, fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins. If his feet are in the wrong place, this could happen. Yeah, well, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. So instead of the 25 things, look what he did here. Look what he did under pressure. Look what he did when they threw two picks in the first half and battled back. Look what he did when it was raining. Look what he did when he left the house and the dog urinated on his leg and your girlfriend wanted to date the other team's quarterback. He overcame it, right? Look what he did when it was just before first half when they were down 5 and we had no timeouts and took us in the end zone. They don't look at all. Look at the way he threw this guy open when there was a tight window. We were so picky at it. Trevor Lawrence is the best player at this stage. Now, I can look at Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson could do things Trevor Lawrence can't. Now, there's a consistent – but look, if you went through all the check marks, I can probably find more, if I say negatives or stuff that bother me about all four other guys. What's not to like – when I listen to people, what's not to like about Trevor Lawrence? I love this analysis. Well, he played on a good team. Oh, okay. So did Pat Mahomes. Kelsey, Hill – running backs, a head coach, a great coordinator. Yeah, he played on a good team too. He just took him to another level because he's that guy and you can do a lot of things and expand your offense. What's not to like about Trevor Lawrence? I'm fascinated the criticism. What's not to like? Guy wins. Guy's been a great teammate. Guy's been in the final two or three of the years he's in. Got a national, he did win a Heisman Trophy, so what? He put himself in position. He's big. If you like measurables, he covers that. He's smart, high football IQ, teammates and coaches love him. What's not to like? I mean, we can go, well, Sean, I saw him miss a deep ball out of bounds in the third quarter of game against Gus Davis, the Dolphins. Oh, really? Right. Okay. I ain't seen a perfect game. So I don't know what's not to like. Now, I can go and say, well, I wish he'd anticipate a little better here. And I know people want to hear that he wakes up in the morning and he pees excellence, and what comes out is another victory when he's going to the restroom and he doesn't have time. He's not allowed to go play golf in February. Stop it. What he simply meant by that was there's things that are more important than we all say. You're just not allowed to say it because if we get it on Twitter, oh, my gosh, the guy doesn't love football. I think he loves football, and he's proven he loves it by his track record, high school, college. He wins. He's done it. He just means that if they lose a game, get over it quick. If you win a game, get over it quick. I have no problem with it. It's not like the guy doesn't show up on time, and he'll study and be ready. What's not to like about him? I'll put it this way. I'll be far more shocked if he's not a star than if he's just an average player, regardless of the team he's on. He's the best, but there's something that every guy does better than the other guy in this draft of the five. Zach Lawrence is more he can do a little bit of everything. Justin Fields might be the guy who can get in the gun, get outside, get in, you know, all the things when he combine the two. Mac Jones anticipates and manipulates the pocket as good as anybody. Lawrence checks all the boxes. You look at Trey Lance and you think, man, he could bust through the ceiling and be better than any of them because he's got this, 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 and this. So, you know what, and the statistics and history tells us they're not all going to be stars, but they could be. And whenever you think you love a player, you take him. You move up five. It doesn't matter what we like. It matters what Kyle Shanahan likes. If he likes Mac Jones at three and he moved up 8 slots, 10 slots, whatever it was to get him, if he loves him, draft him. If you love Kyle Pitts, draft him. If you love Zach Wilson, the Jets did to get rid of Darnold, 3 years later, do it again. Draft him. I don't have a problem with it. Pick the guy you love and don't worry about what any of us on Twitter say.
We're talking to Sean Salisbury, Sports Talk 790 down in Houston, one of the former NFL quarterbacks we love getting perspective from on our show. So, Sean, down in Houston, we knew months ago that, you know, because of all the draft picks that they had traded, that it was going to be a challenge for them to start with. Now you have the uncertainty of what's coming with Deshaun Watson's situation. So what do you see their strategies being? How do they try to make the best of it based on the situation?
Yeah, well, the legal side, I don't speculate on legal stuff, so it's above my pay grade. And
oh, we get that. We've run out of things. We don't know what to say about that. How can you possibly know?
And I don't because put it this way, both sides deserve to be heard, and I hope that whatever was done comes out right for the situation. But the legal part, I don't know anything more than what we see and read because, quite frankly, it's a gut-wrenching situation, and I hope it gets handled properly, whatever that is.
Right.
As far as the football goes, listen, they were 4-12 with him, and he's a great – listen, he's one of the – when it comes to strictly football, we're talking now, this is one of the best assets in the league, guys. You know this. You see him twice a year. He's a phenomenal football player. He makes your team – he steps out of stuff that no normal human being on the field should be able to step out of and make a play. He's a great player – one over the next decade, if on the field and going, he's one of the best two or three assets in the league at that position. He just is. So if he's on the field, they're better. But at 4-12, they weren't a very good team on defense. That's an understatement. So I don't think they're a playoff team even with him. I think Nick Casario has done a good job considering these short-term contracts, trying to get people that fit for very short-term. I think they got better on defense this offseason, but they're not very good. And I don't think they're a playoff team if he came back, even pre all the stuff that's gone on legally, when they were talking about he didn't want to be a part of the Texans before all this. If he didn't or if he did, I just don't think they're not a very good team. They've got to get so good to put in a new scheme defensively, all that. But I do think they've gotten better, but I don't think they're a playoff team. Now, without him at quarterback, if he doesn't play, whether if he was traded or decided he didn't want to play here or whatever comes down, you upgraded with Tyrod Taylor as a backup who can hold it down. Everybody that I've ever talked to that's coached him or been around him, he's a pro. He understands how to be a starter and a backup, not going to be disruptive. You can rely on him. He's not a big shot taker. He protects the football. That's his history, and he's good. So you can count on him to kind of get you through. But he's not that guy. So you're not going to – like, he's not going to say, well, if we're a 6-win team, he elevates us to 10. That's just not going to happen. But he's a great guy to have around and a great get – knowing what we know now about, well, what's going to happen, what's going to go on, is he want to be here, is he going to be here, all those things with Deshaun. So, guys, listen, if Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, if you're asking me today, and Watson wasn't the quarterback, will the Jacksonville Jaguars be in the finish in last place? My answer would be no. I think the Texans are picking in the first 3 or 4 picks next year, if not the first 2 or 1, without Watson. Mm-hmm. With him, now, he may will you to 2 or 3 more wins, and you're probably picking in the top 10 or somewhere. They're just not a very good team. I think they're the worst team in the division. And I think Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer will make it better. The battle for the title is going to be between the Titans, even though they lost some important offensive weapons and they're trying to get better defensively, and how Carson Wentz is. There's so many question marks. Rookie quarterback in Jacksonville, new coach. All the stuff at quarterback here, new coaching staff. Losing some offensive weapons and having to bounce back and get a pass rush going in Tennessee. Oh, you lost Phillip Rivers. Man, who's Carson Wentz? MVP-style player Carson Wentz or no confidence, can't keep the job Carson Wentz? It is amazing. If they're all good, we got a hell of a division. If they're not, we may be scrambling around trying to find a 9-win, 10-win team to win a division. But the best two teams in this division, regardless of what happens, they're sitting in your town and in Indianapolis.
Sean, I'm curious to get your thoughts on David Culley so far. And just to give you some perspective, you know, he's a guy who played college football at Vanderbilt and yep. started his coaching career here. But if you don't go back to the early 80s in this town, which a lot of people don't, right? The town's grown a lot since then. You probably didn't even know that he grew up in this area here. And then here he is, boom. He gets a head coaching job at an age that's probably a little bit older than a lot of people get their first head coaching job. So what are your thoughts on what you've seen from him?
Well, it doesn't surprise me to hire because they do some things unconventional here when you make Bill O'Brien the GM and the head coach and that, you know, all the stuff that I don't need to waste our time going over. I'm happy for Coach Culley because I have been on the phone with people that he coached or that have coached alongside him, and I have yet to hear a person tell me, and some people that I trust tell me that they don't believe he's qualified. They all say he's qualified. He's waiting his turn. Now, why it took till he's, 66 years old? It happens to a lot of assistants where they just never quite get that opportunity, and this is created for him, and I think it's awesome. He's probably really good for this. He gets a veteran staff, adds some youth, some guys he trusts. He's everybody tells me, great communicator, and that'll be good. How much say he's going to have in making all these personnel decisions, not named Nick Caserio? Probably not much, but you know what? I don't care that it's just like I don't care if a quarterback's 5'11 or 6'4. How do you produce? How do you relate with the players? Do you elevate them? Can you maximize the room in the building? And people say, oh, what kind of coach is he going to be? Never been a head coach. So what if he's that guy that's never been a head coach, that it wasn't him that missed out? I mean, the people say it's his fault. What if it's at the interview process or all these people, because he isn't a big sexy name or a redo or a retread, that he just never was in the right place to get the opportunity? Everybody speaks so highly of him. He just got his opportunity probably 20 years later than a lot of guys do, and maybe he's perfect for this gig. I'm one of those guys that until somebody shows, it's like, how can anybody tell me that Mac Jones is going to be a bust? How can we say that right now, not knowing who he's going to be coached by, where he's come from, until we see him be a bust? We can tell what we like about him. Same thing with David Culley. Well, I've watched him coach, and I don't know if he's this guy or this guy, but until we see him handle pressure on a Sunday, until we see him handle a training camp, how he deals with players, because you can't treat them all the same. The rules can remain the same, but some guys need a kick in the ass, some guys need a hug, and dealing with all the stuff that you know that COVID's brought on, all those things that you got to step through. And so I love the fact that he's getting off. I think it's great. I could care less that he's not a big name, because you know what? Urban Meyer's a big name, and he may last a year and a half. And he may last 15 years. I don't know. David Culley may be just perfect. I know this. They went from heavily abrasive to a guy that seems a little more enthusiastic, a ton of energy. And I asked somebody, I said, at 66, getting his first chance, they said, he'll be the first guy running from drill to drill. He'll be on it. So we'll see. I'm pulling for him, man. He's battling an uphill. It wouldn't matter who the coach is, guys. It's an uphill battle considering the situation with the quarterback, any situation. And then with the personnel, the salary cap, what's gone on, the front office, all those things, and the lack of trust in the front office that's been going on. Put it this way, if he wins 9 games, you should hand him the coach of the year. But I'm pulling for him, and I don't care that he's not a big name, because everybody that started at some point wasn't a big name. He just may have to become a star at 66 as opposed to 46.
We're talking to Sean Salisbury. Always enjoy our conversations with him from Sports Talk 790. Down in Houston, you brought up Carson Wentz earlier, and just I'm always curious. You know, we talked to you about quarterbacks a lot. How much of a turnaround do you think he can truly have? And do you think being back with Frank Reich is that the magic that he needs? Because you know, some guys it's all about the coach that they're with and that relationship. So how much do you think that's going to factor in?
I can tell you this, guys. Comfort level matters a lot. It does. Now, I know, Frank, that franchise and Carson Wentz are counting on that happening. He's going to a better team. Not that he maybe had when they weren't to the Super Bowl year and when Nick Foles took over. But the personnel right now, as we look at both rosters, better team. And that's not even a question about that. So he's got that opportunity. Here's what I saw from watching him. I see a guy who's never going to lead the league in completion percentage. He's not going to be Drew Brees when it comes to accuracy. That's just not going to be him. But he's got enough to be hang around the mid-60s, and he's a big physical presence. He's got great, you know, he can extend plays, got a big arm, all those things that we see with the naked eye and watch and talk about. What I saw with him is, you know, think about a hitter that's gone through 0 for 16, right? And then what's he do? Oh, let me change my front or my putting stroke, okay? The putter gets changed 15 times, but not the fact that, well, Sean, your grip and this, and you read Golf Digest and you change this, and all of a sudden you got 47 different voices in your head after one stupid bad game or two bad games, and then you answer a media guy's question, and then you get sensitive, and then people want Nick Foles. Well, why did we let him? And you hear it, and even though they say they don't, it starts to wear on you. With the Carson Wentz situation, I don't think Carson Wentz forgot how to play football. I don't. That's why now we all get the yips and can't have we're a game where we walk off and say, or a golf when you're sitting on the range, and you're like, I've never hit a ball there. How's that ball going there? And then you go on, and it's just one swing or one thing that gets you going. I don't think he forgot how to play. But what I saw with him, he started to miss throws he wouldn't miss. It feels like he started to grip the ball a little tighter. The stride started to get a little longer, so he wasn't compact. The mechanics started to suffer. So now, instead of the old sniper aim small, miss small mentality, it became aim big, miss big. Big play, but then if you miss, and I love when the announcer says, he threw it one high and out of bounds. Well, yeah, I can see that. How about telling me why that happened? And then now you're in the chase mode. Ooh, should we start Jalen Hurts? Then you press a little harder, and every throw becomes paramount. When normally when things are going good, and I'll speak for me, when things are going good at the position, everything's moving slow, but you. Defense, you're like, man, everything that I saw on the whiteboard this week and watched on film looks just like this game. And then there's the opposite. I studied the same. I prepared the same. I went through my same routine, and I couldn't drop at the ocean if I was standing on a beach. So it goes, and then all of a sudden now, three games, four games, mechanics change. Middle of the season, you're not working on mechanics. You're working on game plan. And before you know it, you're believing what people are saying about you. You get into it with the coach. You have disagreements. And then you're like, now it's a change. Then you want out, and your mindset's shifted. I think it can work. I don't believe the Carson Wentz you saw this year is Carson Wentz. Now, whether he's the Carson Wentz when he's healthy, can he stay fully healthy for a season, the Carson Wentz we saw during his MVP run before it was stopped by injuries that year, I don't know. How the comfortability with Frank. I actually think a lot of it, guys, and it's the most fragile, insecure position in the world. The best players in the world are insecure. That's why they don't even want a backup coming in and taking a kneel down. They want every snap, every play. My whole question, and you won't know during off-season, oh, he looks great at training camp. I don't care about that in a preseason game. You won't know till about the first 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season when you see him under pressure, how he deals with coming from behind, how he deals with success in a game, and then how he deals with failure, because they're all going to hit in the first month of the season. Then you'll know what Carson Wentz has shown back up. If the Carson Wentz that we saw when he came into the league shows up, they're the division favorite. Or right, I mean, they're in the back. They'll be good. If it doesn't, we'll be talking about a backup quarterback in week six. So Frank can go all the coaching he wants. Frank don't have the ball in his hand when you put your foot in the ground and anchor it and let it rip on a 15-yard dig route. Or a bang post or a hole shot on too deep. That's Carson Wentz. So he's got to get out of his own head, get back to what made him good. And I'll tell you, you guys keep an eye early in the season. If he's successful early, look out. If he is successful early, yeah. If he comes out the first 3 weeks of the season and he's 12 of 26 and the crowd's getting restless, you may never see the same Carson Wentz again. I'm anticipating that we should all count on Carson Wentz being better than he has been the last couple of years.
Well, certainly going to be interesting to see and see how it all shakes out in Houston. Sean, always great to talk to you. We love the conversations. We'll do it again soon.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
He is Sean in 90, always brings it when he joins the show, and a lot of different storylines in the AFC South, of course, this year that we will talk about. But first, Willie, you're going to tell us about loans.
I'm going to do that pronto. As in loan pronto.
Oh,
I'm
going to
talk about loans pronto. How about loan singular pronto? That's the company, Loan Pronto. New sponsor on our show, and I want to let you know, I know for a lot of people, think about this, it's been a tough year financially for a lot of you. Maybe you had to take a pay cut, maybe you had to change jobs, maybe you switched jobs, maybe you weren't working for a while. But if you have battled through, like all of us have, in this last year plus, one thing that a lot of you might notice is the home value on your home is still there. It's good. Mortgage rates are good. So it is a great time to take advantage of what Loan Pronto has to offer, and that is refinancing your home or taking out a home loan with your home's equity. It's a great way to get some financial things going to your advantage. And you might say, well, I've done that before, Willie. It is such a pain. No, Loan Pronto has changed the system. They have simplified this process. They're going to get you the absolute mortgage rate available. If you don't know what your mortgage rate is, that's fine. Just call the number that I'm about to tell you and ask. If your current mortgage rate, by the way, is over 3%, you need to call right away. You need to refinance right now. Snag a better rate. Loan Pronto will cover all of your closing costs. They're going to lower that house payment with the zero-cost refi. Here's the number, 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Lots of people are calling Loan Pronto, too, to get cash out of their home's equity, 30, 40, 50 grand. You can do that home improvement project, reinvest in your home, or clear out those credit card bills that have been piling up on you during this time. It's a great move. So call right now. Don't waste any more time. 615-499-5780 and ask about that zero-cost refi. In fact, you can miss your next two house payments altogether. 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. No cash refi. Not available on all loans.